Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Talk about beautiful music right now with me. Max Hopper, welcome again to the World Show, Max.
Hey, Nikki. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be back again.
Yes, me too. I'm happy you're back, and I'm also very excited that you have released, well, not quite released this album, but that this album is coming out. I'm so excited. It's beautiful.
Yes, and thanks, finally.
Yes, and thanks for letting me preview it on the, well, what can I say, make people hungry with it on the World Show.
It's the perfect platform for it to get to people's ears, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, thank you so much, Max. But now, listen, let's go back a little bit. Yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on your history, but I do want to touch down there. So, really, Max, tell us a little bit about the early days, because you worked a lot with Double HP, and I think you were quite involved in that hip-hop scene as well, even though you've always been a vocalist and a lyricist. So tell us about those days.
The early days were really interesting, you know. I think now that one gets to look back, it was all in preparation for what's to come in the future, you know.
I
came to Joburg from East London. I'm born in Valcom, but I went to varsity in East London.
Yes.
Came to Joburg, met up with Jabba, met up with a couple of guys in the hip-hop fraternity that was also still starting out, you know. So we became this nice big family of poets, rappers, singers. Everybody used to meet up either at the Horror Cafe or at the Cool Runnings in Melville, you know.
Yes.
And seamlessly so, we crafted this thing that's now has become to be known as the hip hop industry of South Africa, you know.
Yes.
Where we managed to bring in a new flavor from what was only Kwaito, you know, and I think it was beautiful training ground for a lot of us, you know, to learn independence as an artist, to learn to differentiate different styles of music. So having worked with Jabba, having worked with Squatter Camp, with Morafe, it really, I think, channeled me properly to where I am now. I have no doubt and I have no regrets about being where I am at this current moment. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think you talk about that time, you talk about the Horror Cafe, you talk about just that time musically. It was so dynamic. And I think talking about hip hop, one of the other innovations that started coming at that time was actually the use of vernacular languages, not just kind of trying to copy American hip hop. It was a strong strong African identity that started coming in to
what's
that
nice,
style.
What's nice with that time as well, Nix, is that it was also an effortless thing, you know. When you came to Joburg and you find Joburg rappers rapping in Zulu, and you're like, oh man, these guys are sounding nice and fresh, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And the Motswako movement had started in Mafikeng with the likes of Stone and Bafitlile. And when Jabba came into the scene and I was working with him, it was one of those, like, now we finally have this freedom to use our slang and use language and be able to express ourselves even in better ways than just expressing ourselves in, not even in English, in American English, you know. And I think ever since hip-hop took the direction to use vernac, it opened up so many doors from a creative side, from a finance side. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey, and I hope that it doesn't lose that steam, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, as you say, that was some of the most exciting hip hop still, I believe, that's come out of our country.
True,
you went on and you did your two solo albums. And you started your style started evolving into another direction. Tell us about that period of time.
So very fortunately, a good friend of mine and producer, Amu Ammunition, is also a rapper.
Yes.
So when I finally decided that I want to do a solo project, Amu called me to his studio in Roodepoort. He was like, dude, I have a couple of samples that I'd like for you to check. Basically, in a nutshell, Amu defined and kind of directed the sound that is now known as Max Hover's authentic sound, you know.
Yes.
I think he's one person, he's one person that realized that, okay, yes, within all these beautiful hooks that we do in hip-hop and all that, and he was like, dude, you speak so many languages fluently. You sing in so many languages fluently. Why don't you take that and craft that and make it you and speak of your experiences throughout the music? And fortunately, the kind of music that I've always been writing, I think it's a fortunate thing that I've always written about positivity. I've always written about progress. I've always written about self-love, you know, and building one another, you know. So
yes.
Over the years, and the fact that to this day, I mean, it's been 10 years since my first album, but to this day, humanity still needs to self-love, still needs to understand themselves, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So my music then stays in a way relevant and coming across different ethnicities, nationalities, you then realize that actually we all have the same kind of problems. We enjoy similar things. We experience similar problems. So
yes.
Why not make this music and make it one that will appeal not only to the home South African market or the Xhosa market, but in fact speak to everyone that can relate to a particular issue that I'm speaking of. Yeah.
Absolutely. And as you say, these things are even more pertinent today than they ever were.
Yeah.
Yes. Amazing. Now, you know, and that period of time, you know, when I listen to your music from that period of time, you really went into a very, can I say it? I don't really like it to put things in boxes, but into a very Afro soul kind of realm, you know, and which is beautiful. And I mean, with your voice, Max, one can still, you know, as they say, make babies to that music.
I sure hope people can still do that.
Yes.
Look, you know, the beauty about it, Nikki, is that I grew up with multiples of influence when it comes to music. And one of the music genres that really carried me was R&B music.
Yes.
And I mean, as you can imagine, in the 90s as teenagers, the most prevalent music was hip hop and R&B.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And when I found an opportunity, which I then, I guess, also stems from South African hip hop having gone the Venek route, it then became much easier for me to craft my soul music and R&B into proper Venek, you know.
Yes, yes.
We started slowly, you know. I remember stations wouldn't dare want to hear a dude singing in Venek trying to talk about Ngiyakuthanda, you know.
Yes.
You had to mbaqangarize it, or you had to make it. To make it very, very African. You had to sound like Brajabu Kanyile, for example.
Yes.
You know,
what
in order for you to be accepted.
African music, yes.
Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if you were not coming, because now I came in and I'm singing in Xhosa, Sotho, English, all in one song. All in one song. Sometimes in one verse, I'm changing between three languages. And I remember this one record exec saying to me, dude, who do you think is going to listen to what you say? Are you not confusing people? But I said to him, but we speak this way. I'm from a place where we speak this way. I know there is a people that speak and can identify with this. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And besides, it's a new looking into crafting our music anyway, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, it's not just, and I think that's also been the success of your music, because if you want to talk about soul, if you want to talk about different genres, it's not just taking the American format of a soul song and singing in vernacular. It's actually recognizing the underlying African rhythms or lyrical structures that are probably inherent to you. And I think that's part of the beauty of your kind of soul.
Thank you, Nix. Yeah, I mean, I also just really believe in bringing everything to yourself or bringing it home as much as you can, you know?
Yes.
Look at the culture of dance music. Remember, dance music was known as international back then.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Oskido and them took the thing, took it down a couple of notches, on put in a nice little bass lines that were localized and put in lyrics that were localized, changing the entire thing, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then we had a genre called Kwaito. And it became the voice of the townships, you know? And yeah, so I think just in general, we need not box ourselves. We need not only only accept things. We need to also influence the world out there.
That's beautifully said. Thank you for that, Max. Let's play a song of your forthcoming album, because I want to continue talking about your musical evolution. But this one, and is Kwa Makelwane. Tell me about this track.
So Kwa Makelwane is a song that basically speaks to us being more self-reliant, you know, us as humans. It's a song that basically says, I will not be caught dead begging. I will do the best that I can in order for me not to go and be that guy that keeps on begging without having exhausted all my opportunities, you know.
Yes.
So Kwa Makelwane it carries a very chanty chorus that's in Xhosa, you know.
Yes.
But the lyrics, I mix them up between English and Xhosa on the verses. And if you listen to how music is produced, I think that's one of my favorite parts about this song. The way that the band is just seamless in synergy, you know. We had the music obviously produced by David at Future Paradise in Paris.
Yes.
And my band here in SA in Dogozo played on drums. Galingoveni played the bass. Tsepo Munareng on keys, and Kalimakhene, the legend, on percussions. And then I had Amen Viana, who also works with Angelique Kidjo. He's the guy on the guitar, you know. And I think with all those energies, it just carried, when people hear it, you'll hear, like, it carries this nice, beautiful, evergreen energy, you know.
Yes.
That lets you want to explore life, want to go out there and do things yourself. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks, Max. And we're going to talk more about the making of this album when we come back on the other side of this track. Kwa Makelwane of Max Hobers, very soon to be released. Bayele, The Journey Continues. You with me, Nikki B, on The World Show.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Kaya FM 95.9. Wow, beautiful, powerful music. Kwa Makelwane, Max Hoba, his soon-to-be-released album, Bayele, The Journey Continues. So, you know, you spoke about the people involved in the process of making this album. Max, when you were working on this album, did you have any idea that your sound would be taken, like, as far as you've taken it? It's the only way I can put it, because it certainly is as far.
You know, the interesting thing is, so how I first drafted, I guess, the making of this album was, I remember I was doing a show at the Orbit,
yes,
right? And the show was called Masitete, Conversations in Music. So for that particular show, I started writing new music, because I was like, whatever music that I'm doing at this show, should people like it, I'm going to then develop this music into a packageable album type.
Yes.
You know? And I remember I did the show, and the audience was just crazy. You know, it was amazing. We did a 2-hour set, and people were just enjoying every single song. And straight after that, I was like, okay, I'm canning all these songs. I never performed them again. And I then started going on this crusade of finding, looking for the right producer that will understand my tone and the direction that I'm trying to take. Yes. And I think I remember, in fact, you introduced me to David, because I was like, I'm frustrated and I keep talking to everybody. I spoke to Mando from Joy of Jazz. I'm like, help me find a producer. I spoke to Leander Madope, you know, because I was just trying to find, I guess I was trying to find exactly what I've come out with now.
Oh, that's so cool to know.
Yeah. Yes. And I've met up with David. The chit chat was very quick, a quick back and forth, and I was like, okay, dude, I'll come there to Paris. I've got my pre-production stuff. I'll come to you. We'll come and do a proper pre-production, and then let's take it from there, you know. And then I think from him hearing my tone and hearing the kind of sound, the kind of music I was trying to come up with, he then also suggested people that he had worked with, you know.
Yes.
People that carried a larger African sound, not only just a Southern African sound. There's guys that I worked with, guys from Benini, some guys are from Togo, some guys are from Zim. It just really brought it up nicely. I didn't expect it to come out this way, to be honest.
No, it's so beautiful. But in fact, I want to go back to the beginning of that story, because please can I tell the World Show family, because basically, yes, I was in Paris doing a residency, and Max was, where were you, Max? In Belgium.
I was in, I was in Belgium.
Max was in Belgium, and he wrote to me and he said, look, I'm coming to Paris for a bit. Maybe we can do something together. And actually we went and we performed at a venue.
Yeah, we did our gig together.
We did, and it was Africa Day, now that I think about
it was
Africa Day, and I was DJing and Max came and sang and blew people away. But we were sitting listening to music, and I remember playing you some sounds and saying, David is such an amazing producer of African music. And when you heard it, sound, for me, you almost immediately said, this is the sound I want.
Yes.
This is the sound.
And I remember saying, Nix, I need to meet this guy.
Yes. And I love the way that it's worked out. Absolutely beautiful, because you know, as you know, David has produced Bologia's sound, Gali and Goveni, and a few other South Africans. He's been involved with their work. Beautiful. So now you went back there to actually work on the album. So what were you doing? You had your artists here who were recording, and then you were recording with... Ooh, tell me about the process. Yes.
That journey, man. I went to do the pre-production November, December 2018 in Paris.
Yes.
Very cold. But I was very determined. I'm like, we just locked ourselves for like a good 14 days, just me and David, just crafting the sounds and penning down that this song would do. We'll need a horn section for this. We'll need this and this for that, you know? And then I came back home, and in February, I flew David over this side. I had been rehearsing with my band to get ready for us to put in their parts onto the music. So we came this side, got fortunate to be assisted as well by the SABC.
Yes.
They gave us a couple of days onto their studios so we can record the full band. Recorded some of the material with my other friend, Faceless, and Tebo Khomloto helped me record when I was recording Freddy Gwala. So everything, for some reason, just started working out, you know.
Yes.
I remember wondering to myself, I'm like, I've brought this guy all the way from his country to here. I don't even know what I'm going to feed him.
Yes.
I was fortunate enough to negotiate with a couple of B&Bs that would house him, and they let me pay they give me a nice discount, so
yes,
to say, you know.
Yes.
And David, but the nice thing is, you know, working with someone that doesn't seem like or doesn't look like they're getting tired of your stuff, you know?
Yes.
Or they just want to get this thing over and done with, because yes. A lot of people are like that, you know?
It's
and,
not just a job for him.
No, it's
yes,
not, you know?
Yes.
I remember when we were doing Dear Orga, Dave was like, I think Boloja would work on the song, you know?
Yes.
And I was like, I actually think George Munetsi used to be at Kaya.
Yes, Georgie so in the like, afternoon.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, actually, Georgie carries a nice tone for Shona, because the song is in Shona, you know?
Yes.
And we mixed up Xhosa, Shona, and Siswati, you know?
Yeah, beautiful. In fact, I have to play that song before I let you go today.
Okay.
Yes.
So anyway, just to fast forward, you know, David took his own effort. He was like, okay, cool. I'll drive with Gali to Swaziland. I'll drive with Gali and Sepo to Swaziland. Let's go do this thing. Let's get Boloja recorded. So basically, in a nutshell, this album was a back and forth between here, home, South Africa, Swaziland, different other countries in the eastern side of the continent, and mainly most of the production being done in Paris, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love the way that, you know, I love that we're able to do that these days, or we were
yeah,
before
right.
Corona. Now we'll have to take that to another level.
Yes.
Let's hear another track off the album, and then I want to talk about the release and when people can expect it. This one is Thongolam. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes. So Thongolam is a, Thongolam is a traditional chant. Mostly sang when we're having rituals performed and when we're having imisebenzi yezangoma yobungoma, you know.
Yes.
And for me it was a no-brainer to call up Buhle Bendalo to be part of the song, you know. She for me just carries that pure, authentic, seamless tone and sound of a Nguni woman, not just a Xhosa woman.
Yes.
And I needed that voice to come out like that. And I remember having said to her, okay, so because this is an already existing chant, what I want us to do, I need us to write lyrics, fresh lyrics that will accompany and speak of this song. So Thongolam basically is a call out to our ancestors to be with us, to play their part, or at least look out for us when things don't go right and when things go bad, you know.
Yes.
There's even a line that says "Andizenzanga ndenziwa ngabalele." This is the spirit of someone that is in for lack of a better word, that is going through the most from a spiritual point of view, you know.
Yes.
And they're saying that I didn't do this. I didn't bring this to myself. It's my ancestors that are doing this to me, that are showing off with me, you know.
Yes.
I hope people will like it. And yeah, I think it's the first time I'm also going to hear it on the radio.
Oh, fantastic. And wow, we need songs like this. We need healing songs more than ever before.
Yeah. Maxwell, and Kale Makgene again. Sorry, Niki.
No, carry on.
Kale Makgene again is on the song as well. He carries the percussion. And the way he structured the percussions, instead of the general how we usually play our chants with the drum, you know, he took the drum and positioned it in a slightly different direction. People will hear, like those that are familiar with the sounds of Amazion, Namapostola, Ganjalo, they will hear that stuff.
Fantastic. Thank you, Max.
Sweet.
Max Hoba, the album is going to be released soon. He's going to tell us when and after the song. Beyele, the journey continues. It is epic. And this one is Thongolam. On The World Show, you with me, Nikki B.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Kaya, Kaya FM 95.9. Max, I've got to give you a clap. I mean, this is on another level.
Thank you so much. Every time I
listen to these songs, I think you're going to go and do your twice as soon with this album. You know?
I think I'll just call it upon myself.
Mind you, you don't have to. You're already healing us. Absolutely beautiful and so deeply rooted. You know, it's remarkable for me, your journey, how it has gone and almost come full circle deep into your roots, which is beautiful, you know.
This is
powerful, powerful music.
Thank you so much. I was actually worried about, not necessarily just worried, but I was just thinking of, like, I wonder how people will receive this song. And I won't lie, I'm grateful and I'm glad that I'll be releasing this album during the winter. People are still sitting at home, so it'll give them time and chance to sit back and actually listen to the album and get to love it and consume it.
I mean, my only wish would be that you could have come and performed this live on the World Show stage, but we'll have to wait until we can move around.
Definitely.
Now, you know, you touched on, you were talking about, you know, your songwriting earlier on, and you've always been a master lyricist. Do you see, and you spoke about earlier, you know, I often say that artists on one hand reflect what is going on and on the other hand represent the voice of those who are not in the front, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And I get what you were saying about how if it's relevant for you as a human being, surely there's other people that can relate to that. But where does your lyrical inspiration come from? I mean, you know, do you start with words when you compose a song?
It actually differs. It actually depends. Honestly, sometimes I watch a lot of news, you know.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll see something on the news, or I'll see something on the commentary sections, and it'll make me wonder. I'm like, but what kind of person does this, you know? And I'll do like a little research and I always take it back to my communities, you know. And most of these things that are happening now are actually repetitions of things that have happened in the past, you know. And so you'll find that at times I'll just literally start writing down my thoughts, you know. And I use a practice that that me and Jabba came up with years ago, you know, that when you write your lyrics or when you write your verses or your song, don't rhyme for the sake of rhyming. Sometimes it's okay to do a song that doesn't even rhyme, but
absolutely,
it needs to just make absolute sense, you know.
Yes.
And another thing that I recall was being told, or you know, sometimes we want affirmation from different people. There's the one gentleman who was like, dude, I think it's time you start using your voice. Stop trying to sound like somebody else and whoever.
Yes.
Focus on using your voice, because your voice carries something that other voices don't carry, you know.
Yes.
So from a writing point of view, I then started focusing on how best will this present my voice? How best will this present the stuff I want to talk about, you know.
Yes.
In most cases, I would come up with the bass lines, actually, you know.
Oh, interesting.
I come up with bass lines more than lyrics.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll have an entire song that just has a lot of humming, and because I was too lazy to write words down.
Yes.
And just focus on the melodies and building it, you know. Yeah.
Yes. So actually, it's sometimes the music that feeds the lyrics you're going to write.
The lyrics,
yes.
Sometimes it's the lyrics that will say, let's bring in the music.
And also, what I found so interesting about what you've said, you know, we often talk about, and it's come up with various artists on the show, where we talk about sound as opposed to music. And what you've brought up is very interesting for me, because you've touched on something which is beyond singing. It's about the voice. you know? And I think that's such an interesting concept to think about, because it really takes it away from almost the confines of it having to be a song. And now it becomes the use of the voice,
of which a song can be part of that.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And that's beautiful.
There's a song actually on the album.
Yes.
It's one of the songs you said you like. I'll let you know if you play it.
Yes.
That song is also like, I mean, I literally utilized my voice, you know, from beginning to end. I started singing the bass lines and did the harmonies on it, and it then only hit me later that, hey, and so this actually doesn't have instruments. It's just the voice, but the voice, I used my voice to create instruments. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The only, I remember, if I'm correct, the only instrument that we put in there just to lay down was a synth bass. But even with it, it was just the bare minimum of a synth bass.
Yes.
You know, we allowed the music to be carried by the voice. You know,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is, you've actually encapsulated what I'm saying, because song can be part of that bigger voice,
yes,
if you know,
yes.
But it doesn't have to be limited to only song. Beautiful.
That's so true.
I mean, you know, some of these, in fact, the next song I'm going to play is Into Yomhlaba.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
But, you know, listening to the album, it's profound, Max. I mean, did you go through some kind of a spiritual journey while you were making this album? Because it's so deep,
yeah.
It's so beautifully deep, you know.
So, of course,
there's still groove, which we know,
yes.
Max Olber for. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, so Nikki, so I think what helped me a lot with this is that between the Traveling Man, because with Traveling Man, that's when I started recognizing my spiritual journey, recognizing my spiritual growth, you know, and I'm fortunate to come from a family that doesn't say, no, forget about those things. They actually encourage you to go ahead and find your path spiritually, you know.
Yes.
So from Traveling Man, because Traveling Man was also an album based on spiritual journey and travels,
yes.
And moving on to this next album, and I mean, you can imagine, it took me about 4 years before I could craft another album, you know.
Yes.
I needed to know. I remember saying to myself that I need to, when I release an album, I need to know that I'm speaking my soul, I'm speaking,
yes.
of me. I want to make an album that will be rejection proof, and not rejection proof from a commercial space, you know, but
yes.
when someone comes to me and says, what were you talking about there? What was going on there?
Yes.
I need to know, and I need to remember what had been,
yes.
happening. Like, for example, with Into Yomhlaba. Into Yomhlaba, I was watching a band in Nairobi, you know, and these guys were playing this nice East African vibe, you know, but in my head I just kept having this do 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 do, you know, throughout,
yes.
and I think to the people that I was around, they found me very weird and boring, because I just stopped focusing on the show and I kept trying to build this do 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 thing, you know.
Yes.
Came back home, long story short, I speak to my band, I'm like, okay, Stevza on bass, you are going to play do 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 do, and you on keys, you're going to play the same notes that Stevza is playing. And my band is like, dude, what are you trying to do? I'm like, guys, just listen, this thing will work, you know.
Yes.
So we started slowly building it up, and when I, it was so interesting how then the lyrics just came in. I don't remember writing this song down, you know.
Amazing. Yeah,
every time
I could hear, like, it, a channeling, you know.
Yeah, like,
you were drawing on the great spirit. Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
And now fast forward to Paris, when we were recording with David, he then invites this gentleman, Jelly Musa Diawara.
Wow.
And
yes.
And the first time I had heard of Jelly Musa Diawara was through on the world show, you know.
Oh, fantastic.
And you know like it's one of those people like, I'll never meet this guy.
Yes.
Like, it just sounds nice, you know.
Yes.
And the big man came through with his 32 string kora, you
yes.
know.
Wow.
Yeah, like I'm like, okay, so this thing is really happening, you know. And
yes.
and one of the most amazing things, Nikki, is that most of the guys, so on Ndoyo Mhlaba, I've got Jelly Musa, who's playing the kora and is also featured on the vocals.
Yes.
And then I have on percussion, it was Tlale Makgene and oh God, this is gonna kill me. Oh. you know this guy. He plays for Paul Simon, plays drum. For Paul Simon as well. So he came through with the talking drum, you know.
Amazing.
And you know, and then there was another guy. He came through with what is known as seashells. There's instruments that you're gonna hear, and you're gonna think it's horns,
yes.
but it's actually seashells and horns made out of actual seashells that I found so crazy. You
amazing.
Know? Yeah. So yeah, I think let me stop talking about the song, and maybe let's have people hear it.
Absolutely. Let's play this one. Absolutely beautiful. Max Hoba chatting to us about his soon to be released Bayele. The journey continues, and when we come back after the song, we're going to hear about when the album will be available, because you've got to get yourself a copy. This album is really on another level. I'm so excited about it. Beautiful. Coming up now in Ndoyo Mhlaba on The World Show.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Wow, Max Hoba, sure, what a track. In fact, I had a message come through from Mate Smarties. He said, what song is currently playing here? And I've also had a couple of messages from international members of the World Show family. Yeah. Dory in LA has just sent like a whole line of hearts. And Mark Roth in Switzerland says, I love this guy's music. I've never heard of him before. Well done. Great production. His name is Max Hoba. Mark, that's what you were asking. Absolutely beautiful. You really have taken your sound. And you know, this is no disrespect, Max, to your earlier work. Because I always find there's a beauty of artists when they make their first albums. There's an eternal beauty to first albums. There's a rawness, there's a purity, there's a youth. But this is undoubtedly an evolution into other planes. It is still totally Max Hoba, but it takes it to another level, the next phase.
Thanks so much.
So when will the album be available? When are you releasing?
The album will come out on the 17th of July. I had a final meeting with my team. So I'm releasing with Paradise Distribution,
yes.
which is a label based in Berlin, in Germany.
Yes.
So, we're having a lot of back and forth, and finally we agreed that, okay, album must come out in July, you know, and the date that we've put is the 17th of July.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
So it'll be available on all digital platforms and obviously the hard
everywhere.
Copy. Yes.
I want it everywhere and everybody. Vinyl, CD,
fantastic, yes.
You know,
fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I've been looking forward to it finally coming out, actually.
Well, I'm so honored that you actually allowed me to play it first and to make people hungry. But we'll have to do a little chat again just before it's released to remind people, because I know as I've been playing these songs over the last few weeks, people are just going crazy for your new song.
Thanks so much. I mean, as I said, Nikki, the World Show is it's a perfect platform, you know, for putting out music like this, you know. I think you have an audience that truly appreciates music, It doesn't appreciate a particular genre of music. It appreciates good music.
Yes.
You know? And I think that's the space that I wanted to be playing at, you know. And for me, when you asked if you could sample a couple of songs from the album just to talk about them, it was a no-brainer. It made sense. You know?
Yes. Oh, no, thank you so much. And we'll have to, just before the release, I'll make sure that I play some of the other tracks that we didn't have time to play tonight. Now, one more question on this note. Now, you're going, you're going to sign with this distribution company. You know, what do you see as the importance? Because you've been, actually, you've been traveling a lot in your capacity as well, representing South Africa, representing Africa. But what do you see as the importance of reaching audiences that extend beyond South Africa?
Yeah, look, I think what I noticed is that there's only so much that you can do on your own, you know.
Yes.
There's only so much that you can know by your own lonesome self. And my first two albums really showed me that in order for me to get the maximum results and get maximum exposure for this music, I needed to start looking outside of just me and my immediate confines or my immediate circles, you know.
Yes.
I approached labels here at home, you know, but you know the story and journey of trying to find a suitable partnering label, because I've always released music by myself.
Yes.
You know? And I mean, right now, through working with these guys, I mean, we've been working together since Jan, you know, and I've already started seeing changes. I've been learning. You need to be willing to learn. I've been learning so much that I feel like I'm a rookie, you know, and it feels good to feel like a rookie while you know more things, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It only helps you to implement things in a better way, you know. And so the reach that I then get throughout the world, throughout the continent, I mean, now we'll be releasing stuff for Ringback Tones. You know, people have forgotten about Ringback Tones.
Yes.
And Ringback Tones are still huge in the continent.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
We're trying to break into every single space, especially the space of Afro Soul and world music, as much, and spread it in as much as we can, you know, out there.
Yeah. Yes. And also, I think I even said this to you when we were in Paris together, and I said, it's about, you know, the future is really global. And for me, there's such a beauty about being able to take something that, in your sound, it's a global sound, but it could only come from South Africa.
Yes.
And for me, there's something so beautiful in, you've always been an ambassador. As an artist, you've always been an ambassador in some way or another, working out of the country. And for me, it's about music that I believe the world should be hearing and people should be enjoying beyond our borders. And as an artist, I think it makes sense to reach international ears.
Yeah,
you know, I talk about Morikante. I was doing a tribute to him tonight, and you know, and he was the first one who sold 1 million albums worldwide. You know,
That's Jelly Musa's brother, right?
No,
Right?
You're absolutely right. Yes, because he passed away a couple of days ago. So, yes. So, you know, I want this to be the next album from Africa that sells 1 million internationally.
Oh, yes. Blessings received.
Yes.
So, Max, we
are going to play one more song off the album, but before I tell you which one, it's Africa Day tomorrow. What does it mean? Do you have a message? What does it mean for you, in terms of making music?
Okay, so for me, you know, Africa Day has always for me represented like a new way of thinking. Every time Africa Day approaches, you know, I stopped thinking about gigs, but I would spend time thinking okay, what are we doing as a continent? Have we done what we said we'll be doing as a continent? And I mean, years keep going by and by. The one thing that I really pray for, and one thing that I'm looking forward to, is Africa realizing Africa's potential. You know,
yes,
we get too busy with segregations. We get too busy with wanting to be the better African than the other. You know, we are a truly gifted nation as an African people. And the minute we can wake up to that, we've got the resources, we've got the talent. We're probably some of the most creative people on earth, you know.
Yes.
But because we don't believe in ourselves as Africans, it then makes it so much more difficult for us to explore things that could make this continent such a great continent. So in my two cents, I think music needs to go back into playing its role of enriching the mind of Africans, its role of bringing society to its rightful place, you know, its role of encouraging people to get up and do things. I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, this corona situation is actually affording us an opportunity to start again, you know.
Yes,
and I
you're
feel
right.
Like if we miss this particular boat, our children are really going to hate us because we have no excuse now.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Max. Beautiful. I'm going to end this feature with another song. They're all blowing me away, I must say. There isn't a song I love on this album. I love them all. But this one, when you first gave it to me, also beautiful.
Yes.
Ndiye Oga. Tell us about this one.
Yes. Before I tell you about Ndiye Oga, I remembered the person I had forgotten. The guy playing talking drums on Ndoyo Mhlaba, that's Felix Sabaleko. I'm sure.
Okay, yes.
You heard the name.
Absolutely,
yeah. That's
absolutely.
Felix. Salute, leader. Anyway, Ndiye Oga, you know, for me it was also another interesting story. So I come from a very spiritual home, church and all that, you know.
Yes.
I stopped going to church for some personal reasons for a very long time, you know. And I went back to the church, I think, around 2013, 2014.
Yes.
And I think late 2016 or 2017, the church choir was singing this song, you know, but like just playing it, you know, I'm like, what is this thing, you know?
Yes.
And it's in, this song is in Shona, but and I've got a love thing with the language, the Shona language.
Yes.
I need to find out if I'm not related.
Yes.
There, you know.
Yes.
And so when I thought, and I was like, no, but I need to bring in my own interpretation of the song, you know.
Yes.
And this is the very song that I said. Most of it is just created just from my voice, you know.
Yes.
I started playing around with bass notes. I started playing around with harmonies, and then that's when we said with David that okay, we need somebody else that's going to be in the song.
Yes.
That's how Boloja came into the picture.
Yes.
And Boloja was very easy on it. He took it and ran, man. That guy's voice is just angelic, you know.
Yes.
And I was with a friend of mine, Mel. Mel is actually Georgie Monensi's son.
Yes.
Right? So I was playing the song for Mel. And Mel is one of the nicest rappers I know.
Yes.
So I'm like, Mel, don't you want to put in like a little verse here, man? You know?
Yes.
And then he's like, no, man. Why don't you just call my pops, man? Just see, because
yes.
I can hear him all over this thing. You know?
Yes.
So immediately while we're standing there, I called George. I'm like, yo, man, remember we've been saying we want to do music.
Yes.
I'm going to send you this song now. And that's basically the story of Ndiye Oga.
Beautiful.
We all went into studio and it's a song that basically says he is the only one. He is the one and only, you know.
Yes.
He's our true maker. There's none like him. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Max. What a beautiful way to end this feature, but thank with you. A prayer. And it's such a beautiful album. I'm going to shout about it every week, you're going to see. And we're going to chat again. We're going to have a quick chat the week that it's going to be released. Yes. Just to remind everybody to get themselves a copy of Behele, The Journey Continues. I didn't even ask you about the title of the album, but I think it's self-explanatory. Yes.
So Behele is basically the name of the village I'm from in the
Yes.
The Journey Continues is taken from the Traveling Man album.
Yes.
The Journey Continues for the Traveling Man from Behele.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So beautiful. Max Hauber on The World Show talking about this album that will be released in about a month, Behele, The Journey Continues. And this one, wow, I didn't even know about everybody on the song. So thank you for telling me about Ndia Oga.
Cool.
Thank you for joining us, Max. Have
Thanks
a fantastic
a
Africa Day. And of course, stay safe.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody that tuned in, and we shall talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Max Hauber on The World Show.
The World Show with Nikki B. Every Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m. Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.